Okay, today we're going to learn Bechorot Daf Yud Tet. We finished at the end of the Mishnah yesterday. We saw this Mishnah with, again, all different kinds of cases about two Rechelim, one, first neither had a firstborn, and then we had all different types of cases, and then we have one already had a firstborn and the other one didn't, and then we had, different permutations. So now the Gemara asks, the Gemara says, Tzricha, why do we need both this Mishnah and the previous Mishnah? Because in theory, if you looked, and that's why I charted them all out yesterday, all on the same page, it's really, there's a lot of repetition you can see, and it's kind of all the same concepts. So why do you need, once you really have the first one, you could have figured out everything else. So the Gemara says, Tzricha, we're five lines from the bottom of Yuched Amabet. De'iashmeinan kamaita, if you just had the first case, meaning the first Mishnah, the one we learned earlier in the Daf, Bahika, the one on Yud Zayin, Bahika Amar Rabbi Akiva, Detre Mechada. Ava Rechelav, Shelo Bikru, Detre Mechada, Bechad Mechada, Ema Motele the Rabbi Tarfa. You might have thought that that if you just had, so let's say you had a Rachel that had two Zcharim, okay, you might have thought that's when Rabbi Akiva says that the Kohen gets the weaker one. We're now focusing on that Machlok at Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon, about the weaker or the stronger. But why is that? Because Tre Mechada, two came from one. So you could say there that since it's a Safek, right, we're going to say HaMotzi Mechaver Alav Haraya. But Rechelav Shelo Bikru, but in the case, the second case we had, meaning the first case of the second Mishnah, we had two Rechelim, we had two Zcharim and one Nekeva. That means there was a multiple birth somewhere, right? And there was a single birth somewhere. Now, if you end up, right, we know this to be generally true. Again, it's not always, but one can assume that what? In the case, Rechelav Shelo Bikru, Tre Mechada, Vechad Mechada, if you have two from one and one from the other, what can you assume? Where's the weaker one? The weaker one must be the twin birth and not the single birth. So maybe Ema Modele Le Rabbi Tarfon, that the clear Bechor, right, the other one must have been born. Remember, we have two Rechelim, neither one had a firstborn yet, and one gave birth for sure to a Zachar because there's two Zacharim and a Nekeva. So the stronger one must be the single birth. Maybe they would agree with Rabbi Tarfon. Tehachti Yelad Achad Shavich Tvei, because the one that gave birth to a single birth must be a better one. So that's why we have to have the second case. Now they say, okay, V'iyashminanha. So let's say you have that case. So you have the first case where we understand Rabbi Akiva says the weaker one. Then, even in the second case, he still says the Kohen gets the weaker one, even though maybe it's even more likely that that would have been the Bechor. And because what's his assumption? We still don't know for sure. It's true that most twin births versus single births, right? But we all know that someone could, there are women that give birth to very small babies, even in single births, and there could be twins that were born large. So it's not a good enough proof. And again, HaMotzi Mechaver Alav Haraya. I'm just comparing it to human birth because I don't have enough information. I've never had anything to do with animal births. V'iyashminan ha, and if you had, let's say, first case of the second Mishnah, the middle case, why do you need the last case then? V'haka amar Rabbi Akiva ditravayu lo bikru. That's because in that case, neither of them already have ever given birth. Aval, and that's why you still don't know which is which. Aval echad bikra, here comes a very interesting argument. Aval echad bikra ve'echad shelo bikra, so in the case where you have one who never had a child, and one, who, or not a child, an offspring, and one who did already have an offspring, v'yaldu shnei zcharim, ema modele l'rabbi tarfon. Now, what would be the logic here? Tough to know. Dehach shelo de'lo bikra, the one that never yet had a child, had an offspring, shachiach tfei. Okay, that would be the stronger one. You would think that, and I think that's what he's saying, because the Rambam actually has the exact opposite, okay? The Rambam's nusach is the flip of this, okay? So you would think, the shachiach tfei would be, I read it wrong. Shaviach tfei, that makes more sense. Shaviach means, right, it's more mishubach. You would think the one that never gave birth, okay, here's a big, strong point for firstborns. The firstborn's always stronger, right? This is why Bechor in general is considered the better. I mean, the Torah always struggles with this. Is the Bechor better? Is it not? But you would think that if there's two, one's firstborn, one's not, the firstborn must be the better one. The Rambam actually has the opposite nusach. Hach di bikra shviach tvei. After the opposite, that the the one who already had offspring, that's going to give birth to stronger offspring, you know, because
practice.
I was going to say, the, you know, how we always make mistakes on the first child. Like, so, you know, the later ones come out better. So, anyway, it's interesting. I think just the fact that there's a machloket about this nusach and what really would make a strong animal is interesting. And anyway, that's why tzricha, that's why you need to see the Rabbi Akiva still holds, there's still no way to tell which is going to be stronger, which is going to be weaker. Okay. Next case, yotzei dofen v'haba acharav. If you have a cesarean birth, and then the one that comes after it, so the question is that a bechor? Because what did we say bechor is? Peter rechem, the first one that comes out of the rechem. So in theory, you all know, or maybe you don't, but I assume most people know that we don't call it a bechor if it's not the first birth, even if it's the first natural birth. But here, we're going to see that it's actually a machloket, Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Tarfon omer, shnehem yir'u ad shiyista'avu v'yochlu b'muman l'ba'alim. He actually says, due to a suffix, we're going to treat this, okay?
They're not born at the same time. How can you decide that about both of them?
So that's the issue. So what does he say? We're going to see it in the Gemara. It's called b'chor l'davar achad. You're either the firstborn to its mother, right, even though it's cesarean, or you're the first peter rechem. So either way, you have some sign of a bechor. Okay, what's going to be a case similar to this? What if you're the firstborn after a female, right? You're still the firstborn male, right? He doesn't talk about that case, but the Gemara is going to raise that case. Okay, so this is going to be what we're going to call bechor l'davar achad. It's a very interesting concept because it's hard for us to understand because we assume that that's not the case because we know the reality of the halacha. But Rabbi Tarfon, right, was before that halacha was a reality. So he thinks that we treat it as safek, which means what? Shnehem yiru ad shistavu v'yochlu b'muman l'balehem. Right, what do we say in safek? That we leave it, right. Again, let me just go through what happens with a safek b'chor. Safek b'chor, so ideally b'chor is supposed to go to the kohen and the kohen is supposed to bring it as a sacrifice. If the Kohen can't prove it's his, then hamotzim chaver alav haraya, then it stays in the hands of the Baalim. But what can the Baalim do with it? Well, if it belongs, if it's really a bechor, because it's suffix we don't know, well, then you can't bring it, then you have to bring it on the mizbech, which means it's asur to shecht outside the mizbech. That's shchut echutz. If you want to bring it on the mizbech, misafek, well, you can't do that because it could be chulin, and you're not allowed to bring chulin into the asara. You can't sacrifice chulin in the Beit HaMikdash. So you can't do anything with it. So what do? You wait till it gets a mum, because a bechor, even though you're supposed to bring it on the mizbech, once it gets a mum, then you can't bring it on the mizbech, and the kohen can eat it. So in this case, since it doesn't belong to the kohen, well, the owner can eat it if it gets a mum. So that's why you have to leave it till it gets a mum.
All this talk about moon, I've been reading this.
Yeah.
What if it never gets a moon?
No. So then you
can't
just
do anything
wait.
With
no.
It. Just wait.
There's nothing you can do until it gets a moon.
And then, okay. We're talking about live births. We're not ever talking about like a miscarriage because that is a peter rechem.
Ah, so we're going to talk about miscarriages. What if it miscarried before
the live birth?
Uh-huh. We're going to get to that right now. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Shnehem Einan Bechor. Neither of them is a Bechor, and this is what we hold. Harishon, mipnei she'eino peta rechem, the C-section one, because it didn't come out of the rechem, the womb. And hasheni, mipnei she'kadmo acher, and the second one, because one came before it, which means it's vadai, not a bechor. Okay? B'mai kamiflegei, what's the root of their machloket, the Gemara asks. Rabbi Tarfon misapkale, he is wondering, right, his question is, bechor l'davar achad, I havi bechor, I lo havi bechor. He doesn't know, is it possible, is a bechor the davar achad, one sign of bechor, would that make something a bechor or wouldn't it? And Rabbi Akiva, pshitale, and Rabbi Akiva, it's obvious to him that bechor the davar achad lo have bechor. That if you're either a C-section birth, but you're not peterechem, so you're still the firstborn, but you're not born in a normal manner, or you're the first one that came out of the rechem, right? Either which way, according to Rabbi Kiva, you're not a bechor, and according to Rabbi Tarfon, that's the question. Now we're going to see a braita about whether, now this braita is going to support Rabbi Akiva, okay? It's going to show that bechor l'davar achad is not bechor l'halacha. However, it raises the issue that maybe the word bechor might mean B'chor l'davar achad. Okay, we're going to see, or does it not. So it's going to be, there's three parts of the Braita. We're mainly going to deal with the second and the third part. Tanu Rabbanan. Miklal asarich laprat, umiprat asarich laklal. Okay, the Braita is telling you, I'm going to give you an example of a klal asarich laprat and a prat asarich laklal. Okay, this is one of the things we doesn't come up very often. Usually we have a klal uprat, we have a klal uprat uklal. We've had all sorts of things. But now we have a case where you have a generalization and you need, this is a klal atzarich laprat means, you don't know what it means until you have the detail. Okay? You're not sure. It's questionable until you have the detail to kind of sort it out for you. And likewise, you can have a prat, a detail, that needs the klal in order to sort out what does it mean, that detail. So the first case, so like I said, there's going to be three cases. The first case doesn't have to do with the klal atzarich laprat or prat atzarich laklal, but the second two do. Ketzad. Kadesh li kol b'chor. Okay? It says in the pasuk, right? Kadesh li kol b'chor. Now, what does kol b'chor sound like? Any firstborn. Yachol afilu nekeva b'mashma. You might have thought that that includes even female b'chors. Talmud lamar, zachar. Therefore, okay, these are quoting totally different pasukim. Kadesh li kol b'chor is in Shmot Yugimel. And the word zachar is in Dvarim Tebav, when it talks about kol ha-bachor asher yivaled, b'karcha v'tzoncha, ha-zachar takdish la-Hashem. So there it says very specifically, the zachar. And that's how we know it's not a nekeva. Now we're going to go to the klal ha-tzarich la-prat. E-zachar, so now zachar is a klal, right? Because it's any male. Yachol, now the question is, but it needs a prat to explain in which case. You might have thought, this is what I told you we were going to get to, what if a female was born before the male? So you have, your oldest is a girl and your second is a boy. Maybe that would also be included in Bechor, because it's still the firstborn male. Tamud lamar, peter rechem. So that's called a klal hatzarich laprat. It needs the prat of peter rechem. Again, by the way, these are not, normally we use klal and prat, they're in the same pasuk or next to each other. Here we're taking the klal of zachar, which appears in Tvarim Tebav, and we're using the prat that appears in Shmot Yugimel. Okay, but it's, the assumption is we're taking this topic and we're looking at it, you know, kind of from above. Let's take all the pasukim about it. So you might have thought, even nekeval lefanav, therefore it says peter rechem, which means it has to be the first birth of that mother, which means if a female was born before, it doesn't work. So that's a klal hatzarich laprat. You need the peter rechem to explain what the zachar includes. E peter rechem, now we're going to go to the reverse. Now we need a prat, we have a prat, like the peter rechem, that needs a klal. Okay, what is this? E peter rechem, Yachol afilu yatsa achar yotze dofen. So if you're going to say peterechem, that's a prat that could come in two ways. It could be the first natural birth, which could mean, it could potentially be after a cesarean. So Talmud lamar, bechor. Therefore, comes the word bechor to say, no, it has to be the firstborn, which means, so here's the prat that explains the klal. I'm sorry, the klal that explains the prat. Because it says bechor, generally, the general term bechor means it must be a firstborn, and that explains the prat of peter rechem. It can't be a second birth of that mother, even if it's not, even if it's the first natural birth, the first peter rechem. Okay, that's the drasha. Now we're going to go off into the drasha. Amale Rav Shrev Yalabai. Reisha, we're going to connect this to Bechor, is Bechor the Davar Achad, a Bechor or not? So Rav Shrev says Tabai. Reisha, okay, now we're going to talk about the Reisha and the Seifa, which is really the two middle cases. Okay, the two middle cases again are, right, we have Zachar, right? You might have thought Zachar, Afilu, Acharei Nekeva, right? You might have thought that. Talmud Lamar, Peter Rechem. Okay. Then we had the second part, which is peter rechem. You might have thought afilu achar yotze dofen, even after a C-section. Talmud lomar bechor. Okay. Now we're going to assume, make some assumptions here about these and how this relates to is bechor l'davar achad or not. And we're going to say that one seems to imply yes and one seems to imply no, and we're going to have a contradiction. So he says like this, Reisha lo kanas v'la talmuda b'chor. Notice in the Reisha, when they wanted to say Zachar, afilu achar nekeva, They didn't, what could they have said? Talmud Lomar, Bechor. Why? Because Bechor means firstborn. You follow? Right? If you want to say, maybe, right, take your family, if you have a girl and then a boy, so would you think maybe the boy's a firstborn? What would you say? No, because it says Bechor. Bechor means first, and this boy was not the first. He was the second. But that's not what they say. They say Talmud Lomar Peter Rechem. They say it's the first one that comes out of the womb. But in theory, they could have used the word Bechor. Why didn't they use the word Bechor? Because maybe Bechor LeDavar Echad is a Bechor. In other words, they're saying the fact that they didn't use, right? They could have used Bechor, but they didn't. If they had used Bechor here, then that would have proven that Bechor is not LeDavar Echad. So let's just read it inside. So, because lo kanasiv la talmuda bechor, because the drasha didn't use the word bechor, alma bechor ledavar achad have bechor. You could have said that the reason we're now going to say the reason it didn't use bechor is because the bechor wouldn't have proven anything, because the word bechor could mean even ledavar achad, meaning what? If he's the firstborn male, okay, then maybe that's still considered firstborn, because he's a, let's put it in this way, instead of the Devar Achad, I'll call it, in one aspect, right? This is a Bechor in one aspect, right? I'm sure people have thought about this, right? If you have a second who's a boy, you know, in theory, they're the firstborn male. You could look at that as firstborn. So they prove it from the fact that it doesn't use the word Bechor. To disprove that theory is because it must be that it Bechor, the Devar Achad, have a Bechor. But then, Seifa kanasiv la talmuda bechor. But the Seifa, in order to reject an offspring born after a yotze dofen, uses the word bechor. What does that prove? That bechor is not l'davar achad. Because there it's obvious that bechor can't include after a yotze dofen, even though in one aspect that still is a firstborn. Again, assuming born means natural birth, this is the first of a natural birth. So the Seifa and the Reisha seem to, again, really the Mitziata, the Emtza, and the Seifa, seem to come to opposite conclusions. Okay, seem to contradict each other in terms of this issue. So Alma Bechor LeDavar Achad, Lo Havi Bechor, right? So you can assume from the Seifa that Bechor LeDavar Achad, Lo Havi Bechor. What's important to understand here is they're not talking about Lahalacha. Lahalacha, they all agree, in a this Braita agrees that Lahalacha, we're not going to have something that's a Bechor LeDavar Achad, and that's why this Braita supports Rabbi Akiva. But what they're going to say is, what's underlying this is the term Bechor itself, could that include Bechor LeDavar Achad in one aspect or not? So the fact, so again, this is a weird way of proving it, but for the fact that they don't use the word Bechor to disprove the first case would seem to imply Bechor LeDavar Achad is a Bechor, and the second part seems to be very obvious. The term Bechor means, even after Yotze Dofen, it's not a Bechor, which means Bechor LeDavar Achad is not a Bechor. So now we're stuck with this contradiction. So Abai answers him, and he says, Amar Lei, Lo Olam Bechor LeDavar Achad Lo Have Bechor. Really, it's like we said earlier, Rabbi Akiva, it's not a Bechor at all. The Reisha Hachi Kamar. Now, in order to understand it, he changes the Reisha. He says that the Reisha really should read like this. E Zachar, if Zachar, right, just from the word Zachar, what would you have thought? Yachol afilu yotzei dofen, not afilu achar nekeva. You might have thought even a yotzei dofen. Talmud Lomar, Peter Rechem. Now it makes much more sense to say Peter Rechem there rather than Bechor, because Peter Rechem proves that it's natural birth versus C-section. Then what's the second part coming? Well, then the second part builds on the first and says, fine, so I understand C-section is not going to be, an animal born from a C-section can't be a Bechor, but what about an animal that's born from Peter Rechem after there was already a C-section? Maybe that would be, that's the second part, Talmud Lomar Bechor. Which means Bechor, Midavar Achad can't be Bechor, even according to both reasons. And you just reject this thinking of they should have used the term Bechor because it had no relevance, the term Bechor, because Peter Rechem was the term you Yudavka needed to say, right, instead of Afilu Achar Nekeva, it was Afilu Yotzei Dofen. Okay? So in order to explain this, Abai has to basically change the Braita. Okay? Which again, you know, sometimes we hem and haw, how could you just change the bride to like that? On the other hand, they were passed down verbally and, you know, could orally, and it could be that, you know, there were mistakes. Ravina has a different answer. Ravina amar la'olam b'chor le'davar acher have b'chor. He goes back to the first reading, okay? The first reading really does imply that because it didn't use the word b'chor, we can assume that even le'davar achad, it is a b'chor. Then, how do we understand the seifa? The seifa is problematic because didn't they use b'chor to reject afilu achar yotzei dofen? So he's going to understand. Now, until now, what have we assumed? The reason why they use the word b'chor is because of, I'll call it in Hebrew, the mashma'ut, the meaning of the word b'chor, right? That's why it says b'chor, because b'chor means, right? And then we said, right, it has to be full b'chor in every way, right? Not just in one aspect. He's going to understand this drasha a little differently. What's he going to say? V'seifa, Ravina amar, lo'olam b'chor le'davar achad habe b'chor. V'seifa hachi kamar. This is the way we're going to read the seifa. In other words, again, he doesn't think that b'chor le'davar achad is actually a b'chor, lahalacha, but he thinks that the terminology, the word b'chor, could imply le'davar achad. Then we rely on drashot to teach us that, no, it's not. But theoretically, one could use the term firstborn to include even a b'chor born after a female, or right, something like that. So isal kadatach yatsa achad yotzei dofen kadosh b'chor. I didn't read that right. Isal kadatach, if you thought yatsa achar yotzei dofen kadosh, right, this is the second part. If you were to think that even after a yotzei dofen, right, once you say peter rechem, what do you assume? The first one that comes out of the womb, which means even after there was a cesarean birth. So now, so then they say, if you want to say that's kadosh, b'chor dekata brachman alamali, then why do you need the term b'chor? All you need in the Torah is for it to say peter rechem, right? If you say peter rechem all the time, then it's obvious that what? Even if it's after a yotzei dofen. So now, instead of learning the drasha b'chor because the meaning of the word b'chor, it's just that the word b'chor is extra. Once the word is extra, well then, this is classic, right? Whenever we have an extra word in the Torah, we darshan it, not necessarily according to its own meaning. We darshan it to teach us something additional, right? Or something either limiting or inclusive, right? We say, oh, that's an extra word. That comes to imply something else. So now he says, therefore, right, the b'chor dekata brachman alamali, right, what's the purpose of that word? That word is extra, right? So once the word is extra, so again, Abaye says that word we use to darshan the meaning of the word. He doesn't say it's through the meaning of the word. He just says it's an extra word. That extra word comes to teach us even after a yotzei dofen. But it doesn't prove anything about the word b'chor, whether that might include even a b'chor le'davar achad. So, right. So, ilameu tehecha de yatzdan ekeva lefanav. If the word b'chor, so now the question is, what is b'chor coming to exclude? If b'chor is coming to exclude, if the female came first, well, mi peterechem nafka. That already we learned from peterechem, because she right. Then the b'chor that came after the female. The male that came second is not peterechem anymore. So therefore, what could it possibly be coming to exclude? Ela shmamina, the only thing left to exclude is bechor lemiute hechad yotzei achar yotzei dofen. It must be coming to exclude a bechor that comes after yotzei dofen. And that's how he understands the second drasha. So again, do you take it from bechor what the mashma'ut is, in which case it seems clear bechor ledavar achad is not a bechor? Or do you take it from it's just an extra word, in which case you could still be left with b'chor le'davar achad is b'chor. And again, that's why they didn't use b'chor in the first limud, because that wouldn't have been able to teach you afilu achar nekeva, because in theory that could have been included in the word b'chor.
Neither of those deals with the situation of the stillborn.
We haven't gotten to the stillborn.
B'chor who's acting like
yeah.
B'chor.
We haven't gotten to that yet.
It's also interesting that they don't darshan the phrase peter rechem, because you could think that a cesarean would be opening the rechem. Really?
Opening, you mean not a birth, you mean... Oh, you're saying cesarean in theory could
be...
included in
Peter. Right.
They never, like, darshan the phrase.
Right, I think the way they understand peterechem is it comes out of the womb in a natural manner. Yeah, I don't know why you can't understand peterechem, right? It's asking something that like we just all take for a given, but you're right. It's a good question. Why
it has the same meaning.
Because it still comes out of the womb. But right, that's the way they understand the term, though. Yeah, what do you want to say?
Like from a medical standpoint, this was so dangerous. It's dangerous today's cesarean, and in those days, these animals still lived. It's amazing.
Right, it is amazing to think how they did that.
They thought about it.
Right.
No, they probably killed the mother to get the baby.
Well, you think so?
You don't have to worry about there being a second one to worry to.
Right, no, there must have been cases of... You know, right, they're clearly talking here about after a cesarean, which is also interesting. You know, nowadays, you know, there's a whole debate, right?
You
know,
you
certainly when we were younger, you know, no one would ever do a natural birth after a cesarean. You know, it's also interesting in terms of this obvious that there is natural births after cesareans. Anyway, okay, so now they're going to say, though, something's wrong with what you're saying. Ravina, Amar le Rav Acha midifti le Ravina. Rav Acha midifti says to Ravina, Isa kadatach bechor ledavar achad have bechor. Tinach, it makes sense. Hechadi yatza zachar. What's the changes it to? Derech dofen. Vizachar derech rechem. Dilo kadosh. Dimut leda mi bechor. De bechor le rechamim ika. Bechor le scharim leka. Okay, I'll stop here for a minute and I'll just sort of preface with what he's going to do. He's going to say like this. If you want to say Bechor is an extra word, and because it's an extra word, we can darshan it, then you would... Now, if you're going to say we can exclude a case, it should only be excluding one case, but you are taking it two jumps, okay? You're taking it two steps, and if you really... And if you want to say it's mashma'ut, then we could say that's what it means. But if you're going to say it's to exclude something, well then, you can exclude one thing, but you can't go excluding two things from it, okay? So here he says like this. If you were to say that first there was a zachar that came yotzei dofen, and then there was a zachar that came, right? Yeah, they had two offspring. The first was a male C-section. The second was a male regular birth. That I could see that you would exclude delo kadosh, that you would say from, right? De'imut le'dami b'chor. It's excluded from b'chor. Why? De'b'chor le'rachamim ika. Not racha. This isn't rachamim. It's richamim. Wombs. It's the first to the womb. But, right, the first natural birth, Ika, but Bechor l'scharim, Leika, but it doesn't have Bechor for scharim. But Ella, so therefore you could say that case would be excluded. But your limud would not exclude the following case. Ella hecha diyatzan nikeva derech dofen, vizachar derech rechem, but if the first offspring was a female C-section, and the second one was a male natural birth, Likadesh, according to what you're saying, Bechor can only exclude one thing. It can't start excluding two things. So it can't exclude, right? In this case, Da'ika Bechor l'scharim or Bechor l'rechem. It's both the firstborn male and it's the first one to come out of the womb. So according to your logic, the word Bechor working just as an extra word that can exclude something would only exclude one thing and not two. And that case wouldn't be excluded. And the assumption is it's totally obvious that that case is excluded from Bechor, and therefore your way of reading this doesn't work, and therefore Rav Acha Midifti says Ela Mechuvarta Kedabai. Either he says it or maybe the Gemara says it based on his question that Abaye's logic seems to be more logical. So what we tried to show here was that according to Ravina, you could read the Braita as assuming that theoretically, again, this is all theoretical because this is all according to Rabbi Akiva, who holds Bechor Ledavar Achad is not Bechor, as opposed to Rabbi Tarfon, who's questioning this. The whole thing was to say, can we assume that at least the term Bechor could potentially, in theory, theoretically, include Davar Acher, Bechor Ledavar Achad, sorry. Could it include a Bechor in one aspect, not in all aspects? And the Gemara eventually rejects that line of thinking and says, no, it must be like Abaye said, which is Bechor doesn't include Bechor l'davar achad. And then again, Abaye, if you remember, had to change the words of the Braita to say that really the limud in the beginning wasn't the limud that we thought, and it's zachar, not a filo achrei nekeva, but not a yotzei dofen. Okay? Top. Hajon alach alokeach uvar parato. We're now moving on to the third parak. Halokeach behema mina ove kochavim. Here you have a classically good scenario. Okay, somebody buys a behemah from a non-Jew. Now, this doesn't relate to the earlier cases that we saw with the non-Jew and shutafut and being patur from Bechor, because here it's fully owned by the Jew now. But what's the issue? Eino yoda im bikra im lo bikra, but you don't know, did this animal already give birth or not? Okay, and therefore, since you don't know the facts, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to treat it with dinei bechor or not, right? Now, the animal you bought bears fruit, and now you don't know, well, was that animal, is the animal a firstborn, or did the animal already give birth earlier to other offspring? So, Rabbi Yishmael omer, ez bat shnata vaday lekohen. So now Rabbi Yishmael is going to give us age limit, right, age, he's going to break it down by age. If you have an ez within its first year, vaday lekohen, okay, the assumption is, till right, that within the first year of its life, the ez can only give birth once. So, if it's within the first year of the animal's life, the assumption is you don't know whether the animal gave birth or not, but you do know how old the animal is. So, if the animal is within its first year, what do we see? Behema daka, it has a five-month gestation period. So, therefore, right, assume it can't get pregnant right away. It can get pregnant sometime, right? It has to get some age of bagrut. And A's, we're going to see, is the youngest age that it can actually become impregnated. Then, right, you have to wait 5 months. So let's say, there's actually a debate. I saw in the Koran, there was a good note in the Scheinzels. It's a good note about it, whether it's, some people say 3 months, she can already get pregnant. Some people say that the range is like 7 to 9 months, and 9 months for sure. But let's say, any range there, let's say even 3 months. So then 5 months to become, you know, have the offspring. Then already, to get pregnant again, you need another 5 months, you'll be in its second year. So if it gives birth within its first year, it's obvious that it's a bechor. Mikan va'elach safek. After that, you have no way of knowing. And since you have no way of knowing, you have to treat it safek. As I mentioned earlier, all the dinim of safek, you have to leave it until it gets a mum, right? And then you can eat it, but you don't have to give it to the kohen because can't prove it's his. Okay, now we're going to do the same thing for Rachel and for a parana chamur. Rachel bat shtayim, vaday lekohen. Okay, mikan va'elach safek. So the Rachel, right, also, right, her age of maturation is a little bit later. It's within her second year. So therefore, within her second year, plus the 5 months gestation period, therefore, if it's within the second year, vaday lekohen. If it's after that, then it could be a second birth, and therefore, safek. Para v'chamor benot shalosh vaday lekohen. Mikam v'elach, safek. Okay, para and chamor, first of all, if you remember, the para is a nine-month gestation period. The chamor has a year-long gestation period. And the assumption is that they also mature later. So therefore, again, depends on the year and when it is. Okay? Tosfot in Avodah Zarah has a very interesting comment. And he says here, this was only Bizman HaGemara. Okay? But in our days, Parot Yoldot, even within the first 2 years, and basically the problem is that what Tosfot saw in reality didn't match the years in the Mishnah, and he said things must have changed and animals are no longer, you know, the years that the Mishnah said aren't actually accurate anymore. So that's also interesting. Amar lo Rabbi Akiva, ilu bivlad bilvad habeima nifteret kidvarecha. But he says, even if, ilu bivlad bilvad habeima nifteret, then kidvarecha. If with an actual firstborn, an animal that was born, here we get to miscarriages. If in an actual firstborn only would the animal be nifteret from Bechor, then I would agree with you. Then it would be like you said. Ela amru, but the rabbis said differently than you. Siman havla bebema daka tinuf, ubigasa shiliya, ubiisha shfir b'shiliya. So now they say, but wait, Rabbi Akiva says, that whole thing that you calculated with the gestation period is only when it actually comes to full term, has offspring, and then gets pregnant again. But in theory, the animal can miscarry early on. And the rabbis gave simanim for what's a siman. Now, why would they give simanim for what's a miscarriage? So that you know that the animal miscarried, and then you won't count the next as a bechor. So the simanim are like this. If there's a behemah dakan, there's a tinuf, there's some particular dirty or murky colored discharge that comes out, that's considered a miscarriage. In a large animal, it's a shilia, it's a placenta, and in Isha, it's the fetal sac and the placenta. Okay, those are signs that it miscarried. So therefore, he disagrees with his age range, and he says, but you didn't take into consideration that within its first year, it could have miscarried and then gotten pregnant again and then had an offspring, or within its second year for each, you know, whatever it is for each one. Zeha klal, this is the klal, the Mishnah says, kol sheyadua shebikra, Anyway, so he says, other than Rabbi Ishmael, against Rabbi Ishmael, he says, no, it goes like this. If you know for sure that it already gave birth, meaning when you bought it, you asked the Ovei Kochavim, and he told you, then Ein Kan LeKohen Klum. Okay, then the Kohen gets nothing, 100%. It's not even Bechor, it's nothing. Kol Shelo Bika, and if you know it never had offspring before, Harezeh LeKohen. That goes straight to the Kohen. Ve'im Safek, and if it's Safek and you don't know, then any, it doesn't matter what age it is, Safek, Yochal B'mumo LeBa'alim. Okay, then you have to treat it as Safek if you don't know, and therefore the Ba'alim can eat it with a mum. But now we're going to have a question on Rabbi Ishmael. Rabbi Ishmael said, let's just go with the A's. Within the first year, you can assume it's the firstborn. After that, Safek. So he says like this, Mikam ve'elach amai Safek. Why is it Safek after this? Halach achar rov behemot. V'rov behemot mitabrot v'yodot b'toch shnatan ninu. But don't we know that there's a Rove, okay, now we get into the classic Dine Rove, okay, what's always our classic case, the nine stores, we're going to get back to those nine stores with the kosher piece of meat, okay, so now, before we even get into that, I forgot to mention one thing, there's a lot of things that come out of our sugis, we talked all about Suffolk, I forgot to mention one thing when I did the whole review about what you deal with Suffolk, right, so Suffolk we say, again, we said you can't bring it on the Mizbech, and you can't not bring it on the Mizbech, and you're stuck at it, and you have to leave it, but it doesn't go to the Kohen. Why? Hamotzi mechaber alav harayin, and he has no way of proving it. But there's another law that comes in Baba Metzia, which is a very big issue. There's a lot of things written about it. There's even books written about it called Tukfo Kohen. What if the Kohen grabs it? There's all these halachot. Hamotzi mechaber alav harayin means we leave it wherever it is. If the Kohen were to grab it, because he claims rights to it, and, you know, nobody saw him take it, and he took it, and now it's in his possession, does he get to keep it or not? Because at that point, you could say, Amotzi mechaber alav harayin flips. And you might say, well, he took it, it wasn't his to take. On the other hand, it was maybe his to take. So in other words, in theory, he did have some connection to it. It was a safek b'chor. So, Amotzi mechaber alav harayin, until now, we keep saying, well, you know, ein kan l'kohen klum, the Kohen doesn't have rights to it, he can't actually take it, but what if he did already take it? Then, do we take it away from him or not? So there's a whole huge issue about that. I just wanted to mention that. Okay, it just reminded me because this also clicks into a whole... You know, these are... Bechor sounds like a very out there kind of topic, but there's so much in here that's Dine, Sfeikot, and all that these sugyot are very basic sugyot and shas that cross over with lots of other things that we learned in Nizikin about who, you know, Dine Mamonot and who... What do we do when it's Safek and all that.
But how... Like,
and include it in other cases.
Can it just keep going on and on and on?
If people keep grabbing it back and forth, whoever...
Yeah.
Right, so that's the question about how you deal with Tukfo Kohen. Do we view it as, well, now it's in his possession, or he really took it, he wasn't allowed to take it, so maybe, you know, we have to give it back. So that's the whole question there. Okay, so now they say, Mikam v'yelech hamay safek, kalach harov beimot. We have a rov. What's the rov here? Well, right, we know Acharei Rabim Lahatot. So what's Rov here? Well, Rov Behemot, Mitabrot V'yodot, B'toch Shnatan Ninu. Most animals give birth within their first year. There's a whole thing in Rishonim, the Chatam Sofer talks about it, even in the Achronim, maybe nowadays this isn't true anymore. In other words, you have to check this Rov throughout the generations. This might change based on location, it might change based on time, you know. Just like the Mishnah also, we said, was somewhat time-bound because it didn't apply even in the time of Tosfot, the details. But anyway, assuming there's such a rov, okay, it's obvious to the Gemara that there was such a rov, then most animals give birth within their first year, which means that once you're past the first year and the animal gives birth, it shouldn't even be Safek. It should be clear it's not Bechor because we can hold by this rov. V'havadayim me'lid olid. We can assume it for sure gave birth. So, Lema Rabbi Ishmael, we're going to now give two possible answers. One is to say, Rabbi Ishmael, when he said, Mikam ve'elech is Safek, what did he mean? Well, that's because he holds, Ki Rabbi Meir, Desvira le dechayish lemi'uta. We've learned this before, that Rabbi Meir is choshesh for the minority of people. So, in this case, right, that's minority of people. In this case, it would be minority of animals. He's choshesh that maybe this animal was from the minority that didn't give birth within their first year, even though the majority of animals give birth within their first year, maybe this animal didn't, in which case it would still be a din of safek bechor, and you have to be machmir. There was a whole debate about Rabbi Meir. Does he hold that midin Torah, or is it just a chumrah? In this case, it doesn't really matter, because this would be a chumrah. We'd say you have to treat it as bechor, because maybe. But now they give a second answer. Afilu tema rabbanan, and this gets into real classic dinei rov, ki azle bataruba beruba de itakaman, ki gon teshachanu yopasan hedjin. Avaruba de leita kaman, lo azle rabbanan bataruba. We're going to say there's two different types of rov. There's a rov that's in front of us, like Tesha Chanuyot. You have nine stores in front of you. You have a piece of meat, but you don't know which store that it came from. You can say, right, based on the Doraita, Acharei Rabim Lahatot, or Sanhedrin, you take a vote, you count hands, how many people voted this way, how many people voted that way, we go Acharei Rabim. That's a rov that you can count. You can see them all in front of you. But Aruba Deleita Kamam, what's that? A statistical rov. This is a statistical rov. This is just statistics would say that, right? The probability. Probability of this having occurred is such. That's not the same as a Aruba Deleita Kamam. So from the Torah, right, Acharei Rabim La'atot is when they're actually in front of us. But, and that's when we follow rov, but even Chachamim who follow rov in those cases would say if in a statistical majority, they wouldn't follow the rov. So now the Gemara is going to question that. V'hakatanu ptana, deruba deleita kaman. But now, we're going to show you a statistical case where even Chachamim followed rov. Okay, so, katanu ptana, what's the issue we'll see in a minute. V'ka'azle rabbanan bataruba. Okay, that's a statistical rov, and the rabbis follow the majority. Ditnan, but actually it should be Ditanya, it's a braita. Katan uktana lo chotzim velo miyabnim divrei Rabbi Meir. If you have, right, katan or uktana, who haven't come of age yet, they can't do chalitza, they can't do yibum. Amru lo, chachamim said to him, yafe amarta she'en chotzim. Why? Because ish katub b'parsha. When it comes to chalitza, it says ish. Therefore, ish, umakshinan isha li'ish. So, only ish, and we're going to assume the woman has to be like the man, meaning can't be katan, can't be ktana. But matam emi yabmim. So what did Rabbi Meir say? Amar lahem, katan, shema yirat se saris. Ktana, shema timtza ailonit. If you marry them off when they're young, you don't yet know if they can actually, if they're fertile. So he might be a saris, and she might be an ailonit, which means if you marry them off, what's the issue with Yibum? We have to go back to what we learned in Yevamot. It's usher to marry your brother's wife. The only time you're allowed to do it is for the purposes of Yibum. But the whole reason to do it is lakim shem hameh, to have offspring. If it turns out that she never, okay, it's not just a woman who can't have children, it's a woman who never has simanim of bagrut, or a male who doesn't have simanim of bagrut. So if they never come to age, right, they never have simanim of bagrut, then we'll have ended up, if we marry them off before we know that, is it going to be true or is it not? Then we're going to end up marrying him off in order lakim shema. Maybe he won't be able to have offspring with her because she's going to be an ilonid or he's a saris. In which case, we'll have isur arayot of marrying your brother's wife. Right? Because marrying your brother's wife is a sur even once the brother's dead. Right? Even if the brother's no longer alive. So therefore, it would be isur arayot. So we don't want to do that. So comes Rabbi Meir and he says you can't do that. V'nimtzu pogim be'erva. Now what do you see there? Rabbanan don't agree with Rabbi Meir, because what do they say? Zil batar rov ktanim v'rov ktanim lav srisim ninu. Zil batar rov ktanot v'rov ktanot lav ailenonot ninu. We can follow the majority, the statistical majority. We can say you can do it when they're ktanim, because what are the chances are that that's going to happen? So here you see that they even do it in ruba delay takaman, the statistical majority. So ela amarava mechuvarta Rabbi Yishmael ki Rabbi Meir sfira lei dechayish lemiuta. So two answers are given. One is to say he must hold like Rabbi Meir. There's no other way to explain it because even Rabbanan would, right, if you want to say Rabbanan, they would agree even a statistical majority, we follow the majority. And again, Rabbi Yishmael is not following the majority of Rov Behemot Mitabrot V'Yoldo in the first year. Sfira le dechayish lemiuta. Ravina amar afilu tema Rabbanan. Now Ravina is going to make a distinction between statistical majority of the katan and ktana case and the statistical majority of the animal case. Okay, animals giving birth. What's the difference? Now, if you could be creative and figure this out. Ki az le Rabbanan bataruba beruba delo tle b'maase. Ava ruba de tle b'maase lo. We can follow a statistical majority when the event will happen whether or not we do anything. A katan will reach age and mature without any intervention whatsoever. maybe nowadays some people use intervention for that kind of thing, but let's just ignore that aspect. But a child will reach maturation without anybody doing anything. But an animal will not get pregnant without some ma'aseh happening, okay? Without actually engaging in sexual, you know, mating with another animal. So therefore, since that's dependent on a ma'aseh, and it's a statistical rove and not a rove that's in front of us, therefore we don't hold by it, even according to Chachamim. Whereas with the katan and ktana, since it will happen anyway, the rabbis rely on it, okay? I just want to add, there's a few interesting things in the Rishonim about this. I'll tell you what, we finished our time today. Well, tomorrow we'll start with a few interesting things in the Rishonim about this issue of the majorities and the rove and the leita kaman, ita kaman. I'll go into it tomorrow. We'll start with it in the morning.